entered access code 648568.
What does the Bible say about Christ in you, the hope of glory? Just the mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, so that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So we're going to focus on tonight, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Does anyone have any idea what this scripture is talking about?
The hope of glory.
Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Salvation, restoration.
Alright, so if you say salvation, restoration,
mm-hmm.
Right? That's one thought. Anybody else have one thought?
This is a mystery back in the Old Testament.
It's a mystery. Okay, so Chris said it's a mystery. Lisa said it's salvation and restoration. Anybody else?
Sanctification.
Sanctification. So we have sanctification, we have restoration, salvation, and we have mystery. All right? Anybody else?
Well, I guess I'm kind of cheating because I'm looking up what the word says, the hope of glory, and to find out what.
All right. So now you're saying hope of glory.
Yeah.
All right. So everybody, you ate everything on the plate but the meat. The meat of Christ in you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the meat. Christ in you.
And the word hope means faith.
It's what?
Faith.
Faith. Okay. So we have hope there, which is faith. Okay. So Christ in you, all right, the hope of glory. Okay. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, so that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, first Colossians, first chapter 27-28, it reads this. Now, this is beautiful because here it is. It's a mystery what God has hid this, and then now He's making it. He's making this known, right? He wants everybody to know. It says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The first it says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. Okay? Among the Gentiles. At first, it wasn't given to the Gentiles. Now it's being revealed to the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, it's called a mystery. Okay? Now, the mystery that God once wanted to be made known is Christ in you. So understand that. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Is that possible? It says every man perfect in Christ Jesus.
Perfect. Yeah.
Okay. It says there are five major steps and measures of Christ in you. All right? Christ be in you, so this is saying there are five major steps and measures of Christ in you. So we understand that Christ is in you, correct?
Yes.
So therefore, if we understand that He's in you, what has to happen?
An awareness
some people call it the Christ consciousness. The Christ consciousness. It says the first measure of Christ is light. Right? The first measure of Christ is the light. Christ, that is in all men that come into the world, everyone also has the Holy Spirit of God, because it was poured out on all mankind at Pentecost in Acts 2:14-21. So what's the first measure?
Light.
It's light. Right? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Keep putting that fresh in your mind. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay? So in Acts 2:14-21 it says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass, and in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." So what happened? The day of Pentecost was fulfilling what the Joel prophet has prophesied. Right?
Yes.
Right? So it says, "And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be lost,
saved.
There it is. That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So remember that Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It says here, and the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with him. And that's in 1 Corinthians 12:7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. So what's the Spirit is given for?
For profit.
The profit with all. Manifestation. Okay? Of the Spirit is given to every man. Did it say some man?
All man.
It said every man, right? The Scripture is talking about every man. This Spirit is chained down, subject to your selfish spirit that rules you. This seed of God is waited to be sought, listened to, and obeyed, which causes growth from the seed of Christ, which is chained down within a man. Christ must increase while the rebellious spirit of man decreases. Can we agree to that?
Yes.
Even John said that I must decrease that he may increase, right? Even John said that. So understand that there's a light. He called it the light. Remember that light is every man that cometh into the world. Right? So where am I? Right? Decrease.
Until finally,
Christ appears with any man to be seen, to be witnessed, to bring salvation, to bring the kingdom, to bring glory to the purified believer. This seed, light, or Spirit of God, is your talent, which must be improved in this life. Now, I'm going to read this, and it's kind of controversial, but we can hash this out. If you fail to grow it, in the next life, it is taken away from you and given to another who has improved their talent, while you are cast into outer darkness as a wicked and unworthy servant. This is step one, is the seed chained down. Remember about the parable about the he gave out these talents?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And that the one that hid his talent in the earth, that didn't allow it to come to birth. See, there's the talent, the Spirit of God. The good picture that we talked about last week, just look at this picture. And I said this, how is it that Jesus was inside of a ship, okay, and that the storms was raging and the boat was full of water, and then they woke him up. Now, this picture, the ship being a human being, and Christ is asleep, which is that seed, which is that light. And a lot of times, the only time someone wants to call upon the Lord is when they are in trouble.
Okay.
In other words, they will keep Christ asleep. So just look at that picture. That here it is. God's Spirit is poured upon all flesh, and he has given, the Bible says that he has given every man a measure of faith, correct? But it's up to you to exercise that faith, to grow that faith. Just like a seed. If a seed is planted inside the earth, which is Jesus, you have to do what? It has to grow. You have to water it so it'll grow. So just look at the whole concept. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay? So, it says, while you are cast into outer darkness as a wicked and unworthy servant, step one is the seed chained down. In John 1:4-5, it says, in him was life. And that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness did not comprehend it. The light in every man shines in the darkness of man, pleading with him to forsake evil. But man in his darkness does not grasp what God is trying to explain to him. Can we agree to that? 1 John 7-9. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came as a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him, which is the light, might believe, which was the true light. Here it is, that enlightens every man who comes into the world. So we understand the light that enlightens every man, or lightens every man that comes into the world. In Acts 2:16-17. This is what, okay, we already read the scripture, correct? While the prophet Joel, we got that off of the first page, right? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12:7. Read that one. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with us. We ought to read that too.
Uh-huh.
Okay. The desolate sex looked to an outward God in a far off heaven. Now, this is good. And heed the words of the Bible instead of the light and word Christ within them. The early Quakers preached Christ within, and the Protestants severely persecuted them, yet what they preached was plainly stated through the Bible as below. So we're going to get into that, Christ in you. And that's what it says. The Quakers preached that, and they got persecuted for preaching that. And how is it that we just read in Colossians 1:27, it says, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ resided in you. So we want to get into that. So it says, what? Did you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? So where does the Holy Spirit reside?
Inside of us.
So you can't deny that the Holy Spirit does not dwell in you.
No. Yeah.
Okay. And your body is the what?
Temple.
Where he resides. Mm-hmm. Right? To whom you have from God. You are not your own. That's in 1 Corinthians 6:19. It says, what? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Think about that. Which you have of God. So, if your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God, so that means you are a temple. Correct? And what did they do when they went to the temple?
They worshiped God.
They worshiped.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So, where is true worshiper, true worshiping?
Within ourselves.
Within yourself. That's true worshiping.
Yeah. That's when you go into your closet.
Your
the house of prayer.
Which is yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the house of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Which is yourself.
Amen.
And Mom hit that on right. She hit the nail right on the head. Your closet.
Mm-hmm.
Your secret place. It says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Are we our own?
No.
No.
We're God.
Thus we bought with a price.
We bought with a price.
Yeah.
So we can't even take ownership even of ourselves.
Wow.
Mm. Mm. Okay. Let's see. That they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him. Feel after him? I don't understand. And find him, though he is not far from every one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. Okay. That's in Acts 17:24-28. We're going to read this. It says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Now,
not in the
temple made with
hands.
Uh-oh. We got a problem now.
Mm-hmm.
Neither is worship with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Oh, my goodness. So, whose offspring are we?
God.
Christ. They said, and Paul said, even poets wrote about this, that we are his offspring. And we're not our own, we're bought with the price. Our temple is what? Is where the Holy Ghost resides. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
And we are not our own.
And we're not our own.
Yeah.
Now, this is a, this right here is the next paragraph is beautiful. He says, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And what agreement as the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. What?
Living God.
We are the temple of the what?
Living God.
So we are the temple. So where is true worship?
In the temple. Not made with hands.
Not made with man's hands. So true worship is your body.
Yeah.
Yes.
The true temple is your body.
And most of the things that he tells us not to do, it has to do with conserving the body.
Yes.
Not to do harm to the body.
Yes.
Nor to anybody else's body.
Yes.
Yes.
Hmm.
Because that's where
he
Look, he says, I will dwell in them.
Yes.
In
walk
them.
In them.
Yeah.
And walk in them.
Yeah.
And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And it says, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For
you know,
you could put it
this way too. I know I'm not putting him down as in the same category as when a woman is carrying a child, but when you're carrying a child, you try to do everything you can to protect them, to eat right, get the right rest, get treatment, everything, because you know that this person is dwelling in you. And you want to do everything you can to preserve it and to give it a good chance of life and being developed and born.
So
if we looked at God the same way, not that he's a baby,
but
he's dwelling in our body.
Yes.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Look at what we put in our body.
Okay, yes.
and what we do to our bodies.
Yes.
That's why he said, make your body a living sacrifice.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Holy.
Holy and acceptable.
Yes.
To God.
To God.
Which is a reasonable
service.
So there it is. When he resides in us, you remember I told you it was like the promised land was the type of our bodies as Jesus coming into the promised land and dwelling in us and what? Killing all the ice
in
this land.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're not doing the work. He is. So, this is another, last week, it was about what? Hearing his voice.
Hearing his voice, yes.
Right? Now, this is what? What is this about? Him residing.
Residing
in us.
Yes.
Therefore, when you understand he resides in you, then you can start understanding and listening to his voice, or what the scripture says, or feeling for him.
Feeling for him. And listening, as they say, listening to that inner man.
Yes,
yes.
Feeling
that inner man.
For
that's
him.
My goodness. Oh,
if you, remember, he says, now, has given what everyone, he gives to all life and breath and all things. The breath that you have, that you even hear yourself breathing, that came from him.
Mm-hmm.
So now we understand that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our body is a temple. And that's what true worship is. It's not in a set place. It's not over here nor over there. But the true temple is your body. And how is it that when you begin to manifest and people begin to see Christ in your life, did you know you're just, you are representing the kingdom of God?
Yes, we are.
The kingdom of God is right there in front of them, and they don't even know it.
Mm.
When Jesus, remember, when his disciples, they were arguing about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom,
mm-hmm.
and then Jesus brought the little children in front of them. What did he say? Thus, right here. Is the kingdom. But they didn't even understand it. The little children, being as a little child, that being a temple of the Holy Spirit, and having your mindset as a little child, not to boss God around, not to tell him what to do, but for him to dwell in you, that he can lead you and guide you and move through you.
Yes.
That's what it's about. Sometimes we're too grown. We are. Sometimes we're too grown for our own good. Because Jesus said, except a man humble himself as a little child. There it is. As a little child, he can't even see the kingdom of God. And then he says to the man born again, he says, you can't even, what? Enter into. So if you can't see something, surely you'll never be able to enter into it. So there's some things that we have to start understanding about what is really the truth and what's really happening and what has happened already and what God has given you already. Mm-hmm. So he says, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And Leviticus 26:12, it reads, and I will walk among you and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. What do you say? I will walk what?
Among you.
Oh, among you. He will walk among you. Uh-huh. And do what?
Be your God.
I will be your God.
Mm-hmm.
We will be his people.
That's right. He didn't say you might be. He said you will be.
You will be.
So he'll walk. Now, God is omnipresent. So he can dwell in you and dwell out you at the same time.
That's good. Surround you.
Surround you. Because in him we move and have our being. Right? This is beautiful.
But then,
yes?
And here in Leviticus 26:12, it says, I will walk among you.
Mm-hmm.
I will be your God. And you shall be my people.
That's right.
He didn't say, I am walking among you.
Mm-hmm.
So what has to transpire before that happens?
When he poured out his spirit.
Okay, because that is
Leviticus. Yes, when you pour it out. Now, we can understand, if also we can go back and we can read what he was referring to and what predicament that the nation of Israel was in when he said that. Because, remember, he was a flame at night and he was a cloud by day.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he preserved that nation, didn't he?
Yes.
He protected the nation just like a woman. He treated that nation like a woman. He says, I liken the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman.
Mm-hmm.
So you can tell how he cared for that nation as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So a flame by night, what? He kept them warm, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. And then, in the day when it was hot in the desert, he kept him cool with
because
the cloud.
He was a cloud.
Then he what?
With
then, yeah, and he fed them with manna.
Manna.
So didn't he walk amongst them?
Yes, he did.
Oh, yes, he did. Mm-hmm. He walked amongst them. So, but we have to understand that the precious Holy Spirit that was poured out, and it's indwelling. Now it's from, you know how they had the temple and how they built the temple. And God told David, he said, I don't want to dwell in the temple. He said this, he said, because I want to go everywhere you go.
Yes.
Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
God telling David that, listen, I don't want to dwell in no temple. I want to go everywhere you go.
Yeah.
I want to be with you, David.
Yeah.
So God has made that available, that what? He can go everywhere with us.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Just understand the love that He loves mankind. He wants to dwell among us. Wants to dwell in us. He wants to provide for us. He wants to heal us. He wants to protect us. That's how much he loves us.
Yeah.
And he protects us, doesn't he?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, he says, one God and Father of all, who is above all, now watch this. We read all, now I have read this scripture so many times and quoted it so many times, but I looked over this part. It says, one God, one Father of all, who is above all, and through all, watch this, and in
and
all.
In you all. In you all.
In you all. One God, one Father of all, who is above all, and
us and through us and in us.
Yeah.
In us.
So we are covered.
Yes, we are.
From head to toe.
Yes.
Man, this is beautiful.
I love this next paragraph, too. It's beautiful.
It says, don't you know that you...
No, you missed a good one.
Okay, my little children?
Yes.
Okay. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ is formed in you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ is formed in you. Did he say out of you?
No. In you.
In you.
Now, remember, it was a while back, and you said that God the Father is both male and female, because this right here shows the female. He's referring to himself in the female aspect of that.
Okay. Now, understand this. This is Paul writing to the church. Okay? And he wants to understand how he labored for them, for their birth. Okay? Until Christ is formed in you. That's what Paul was writing to the church of Galatia, I believe. The book of
Galatians. Yeah.
So, Paul was laboring. So he was bringing them back. He was trying to make them understand all the labor and the pains that a woman goes through to birth a child.
Yes.
And here, Paul, he wrote most of his letters incarcerated in prison.
Yes.
But just look at all the effort and all the pain and all the everything that Paul suffered. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten, left for dead. He was bitten by a serpent. It's so many things that he was stoned several times. Okay, so right there, just look at all the labor that Paul went through just to birth new Christians. So that's why he wrote that. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again. He says, again. Okay? Until Christ is formed in you. So, just look at all the effort that Paul went through just to unto Christ. We should be willing to go through the same labor.
Same as Jesus, what he went through.
Yes. Yeah.
To reconcile us back to God.
Yes. So understand, it says, birth again until Christ be formed in you. Right? And 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? And that God's Spirit lives in you. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Can we get any plainer than that? So, who is the temple?
We are.
We are. This is beautiful. So Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay? All right? It says that Christ may dwell in... Okay, here it is. Ephesians 3:17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love... There it goes again. This is the King James Version. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love. So, where does he dwell? This means of your heart. Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. In. Okay? Says, to them God a will to make known that are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that was our lead of scripture. So we understand it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Our body is what?
It's the dwelling place of God.
And it is also a temple.
Temple.
Huh? All right. And God said he will what? I will dwell in them and walk in them.
Mm-hmm. And I will be their God and they will be my people.
So where's true worship?
In us. In us.
Is this surprising to you?
That we're the temple, because a lot of people refer to the temple as the, quote, church of today.
Uh-huh.
They think it's a place,
a physical, and he says that he doesn't dwell in the temple made by
man's hand.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
What does the word dwell mean?
Reside.
To live. Stay. Live in. But when you go to church, you do feel the spirit in the church. Because all the people that's coming in the church is they're bringing Christ into the church.
Into the
Christ
church.
Is not there until the people come into
the
it.
People get there. Yeah.
They're bringing them in.
Okay, I'm slow. I got it.
<Stay on me. laughs> But see, what people think, people think that Christ is waiting at the church for them to come in.
To come in.
They don't know that they're bringing Christ with them when they meet. Because he says that when we come together, we're to come together to uplift and edify and all of that. He didn't say we were to come together to worship.
Tawana, could you please look up the scripture where Jesus talks to the Samaritan on the well, the woman of Samaria?
You know, worship them in spirit and in truth.
Yes, spirit and in truth. But it's something that Jesus said that we really should. That he was trying to get them over to start understanding that something new was about to happen and take place.
I believe it's John 4. I'm going to check.
John 4 chapter?
Yes, it is.
All right.
John the fourth chapter.
Fourth chapter.
I'm sorry.
Fourth chapter of John.
Hold on. Okay. John the fourth. Well, it's the whole chapter talks about it.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. It's John 4:1.
All right. Now go ahead. Just pick up where he begins to talk about the whole chapter. It talks about it, but.
It starts at the seventh verse. We're talking
okay,
about
go
the
ahead.
Scenario.
John 4:7?
Yes.
So,
there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which I am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and know it is that saith, and know who it is that saith to thee, give me drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water.
Living water.
And the woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well to drink thereof, himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life.
So right there.
It's going to be in him.
In him, right?
I read the water in him, right?
And then it talks about a well, right?
Yes.
And that well will be always filled, doing what?
Springing up, everlasting life.
Into what? Death?
Everlasting life.
Keep going. So what is he talking about?
The indwelling of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Yes.
And he said that you will never thirst.
Never thirst.
Keep going.
And the woman says unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband.
Mm-hmm.
In that saidest thou truly. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship.
Okay, now, there it is. Now, the Samaritans, they built the temple also, okay? So the Samaritans were, shall I say, the rejected society.
Right.
And they didn't fit in, or should I say the Jews didn't have no dealings with the Samaritans because a lot of them were half-breeds.
Right.
And so there wasn't a pure Jew. We understand that about the Moabites as well. So they had a lot of that going on. And so here it is. They built their own temple to worship.
Right.
And then, you know, then also the Jews built their own temple. So he's talking about two different temples. They had one in the, I forget where the location was, but it was on the mountain.
Gershom.
Excuse me?
Gershom.
Gershom, okay.
Yeah.
And then it was a... another, it was two temples. So the Samaritans worshipped at one temple, and the Jews built their own temple as well. So now he's talking about two distinctive places where they worship. Go ahead.
Okay. John 4:21. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what.
Mm-hmm.
We worship for salvation of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh. Which is Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, she didn't even know who she was talking to.
Exactly.
And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What speakest thou? Or why talkest thou to her?
Mm-hmm.
The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me,
amen,
and to finish his work. Say not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the field, for they are white, ready to harvest. And he that reapeth, receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life. And gathereth fruit unto life eternal.
Mm-hmm.
For both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together.
You can stop there. So here it is. So he says, neither on this mountain, neither in Jerusalem, right? That they wouldn't worship. That's it. Won't be a place of worship. It won't be a set place anymore. That
no.
To worship is in the temple, which is our bodies.
Yes.
That's what true worship is. And it says, the water, which is, it'll be the living water, will be in you, and it'll be a well springing up inside of you.
And if you read 7:37 and 38,
uh-huh.
He says that. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.
There it is.
Mm-hmm.
Out of his belly.
Out of his belly.
Shall flow rivers.
Rivers.
Of living
more than one.
Water. There it is. So the Holy Spirit is indwelling.
Indwelling.
God resides inside of us. Our body is the temple. True worship is what is our body. Are you not? Right? That your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So we have said this scripture over and over again. And now this is beautiful. Let's keep on going. So where are we?
We're at top of page 4.
I'm right there. Okay. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. Say that again. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. But God has shown it to them. That's Romans 1:19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared, here it is, with the glory which shall be revealed in our eyes.
In us.
It's Christ in you, the hope of
glory.
So Paul, he followed that up by saying what?
That it can't even be compared.
Well, I consider that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed
in us.
It's in us. In us. A revealing in us. Romans 8:18. For I reckon that suffering of the present time time is not worthy to be compared with glory which shall be revealed in us. Examine yourselves whether you are in the faith. Prove yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you are reprobate, tested Corinthians 3:5. Examine yourselves 13. Whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate. So we have to understand what?
Christ is in us.
Know your own selves.
Know yourself, yes.
Know ye not your own selves? That's the question. How that Jesus Christ is in you.
And what he's saying here, except ye be reprobate, that if you don't know that,
yes,
then you're not tested. And
yes,
you're rejected,
mm-hmm,
and abandoned to sin.
Yes.
Wow.
Christ is in you.
Yeah, if Christ is not in you, you're reprobate.
If you don't recognize that he's not in you.
If you don't recognize he's not in you.
He says, for I reckon that... go down. Where am I? I'm lost.
Examine yourself.
Yes. Oh. Examine yourself whether you are in the faith.
Mm-hmm.
Prove yourself.
Yes.
Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you? You have to start recognize that Jesus Christ is in you.
Yes.
Recognize that. Understand it. Through the scripture, start understanding it. That he's in you. It was a mystery. How is it that it was a mystery that God didn't want the Gentiles to know?
Yeah.
Then, turns around, he wants them to know the mystery.
It was a mystery before the time came that he wanted us to know.
Yes.
But when he wanted us to know, then he revealed it to us.
Yes.
He has his timing.
Well, they were grafted back in.
Yes.
Yes, but we went over that already. That God
had given
a set time for it to happen, it to be revealed.
Yeah.
That he went before the foundation of the world. He already had a set time for it to be revealed that Christ be in us.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we have to start understanding that what? Christ is in you.
In us.
He's in you, he's in us. It says here, here's another one. Let the word of Christ dwell on you.
In you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that in?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Dwell in you richly
in
all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with words from Christ in your heart. Words from Christ in your heart. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Singing in grace in your heart to the Lord.
And that word richly means abundantly.
Singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. So where's the Lord?
In our heart.
So where should the singing be?
In our heart.
Oh,
in our heart.
Yes, that's what worship is.
Yes. And the scripture that says, thy word have I hidden in my heart.
Yes.
So I'm not sinning against.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Thy word have I hid in my heart. So, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. All right, here we are. But ye, this is a beautiful too. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If the spirit of God dwells in you, now, if any man does not have the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the spirit is alive because of righteousness. Uh-oh. How can a body, wait a minute, how can a body be dead because of sin, but the spirit is alive because of righteousness?
Going back to the line before that, when it says, if any man does not have the spirit of Christ,
uh-huh.
he is none of his.
Yeah.
But he said that he's in everyone.
Why don't we go to Romans 8:9 and see what it says?
It's right below.
It's right there. Underneath. Yeah, that's where it says.
Yeah, because, okay, but it's just repeating. That's just the same thing we just read. That's from the King James Version.
Let's see why he said it though.
Because he said, "Now if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not of His."
But
Paul is simply making a statement here.
Oh.
He's talking about
the carnal mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if we start from the first verse.
Yes.
Yeah, if we start from the first verse, it says stay.
Go ahead.
It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ
okay.
Jesus,
uh-huh.
who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
For the law of the Spirit of life is Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death.
Okay.
For what the law could not do,
yeah.
in that it was weak through the flesh,
right.
God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh.
Condemned it. Uh-huh.
That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
For the carnally minded is
yeah.
death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
Mm-hmm.
Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Oh my goodness.